Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke chapter 14 today on Through the Word, with some powerful lessons from Jesus on practical humility and a challenge to count the high cost of following Jesus. Think about that. What if your Christian life had a price tag on it? What would it say? Certainly, Jesus paid the real price when he bought your salvation with his blood. You cannot buy forgiveness. The price is too high. But there is a cost to follow Christ, a sacrifice you must make. Are you willing to pay it? We'll start with a lesson in going last, beginning at verse 7. Jesus was eating at the house of a prominent Pharisee. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus' story is about a wedding. Basically, if you show up at a wedding and the seats aren't marked with name tags, don't go sitting next to the bride and groom, or somebody's going to get you up and kick you out to the lowest place, and you look like an idiot. Now, this story is about a wedding, but Jesus is applying it to the rest of life. The key phrase in the parable is to take the lowest place. Go last. That doesn't mean lose on purpose at sports or Monopoly. It means choosing to take the spot no one else wants, so someone else can enjoy the best. This is a great lesson in practical humility, but how do we apply it today? We don't have seats of honor as they did in Jesus' time, but we can apply the basic guideline. When given a choice of things, take the least and offer others the best. Philippians says, consider others more important than yourself. In other words, when you run for the car, call the back seat in the middle instead of calling shotgun. When you park the car, take the space far from the store. Take the last piece of pizza. Volunteer for the least favorite chore, not just at church, but with your family at home. Humble yourself and let God honor you. If you do, I guarantee you'll be amazed by two things: how easy it is and how fun it is. Easy because no one will fight you for last place. Everyone fights for first and loses friends over it. Take last and you'll make lots of friends. Fun, because God will put joy in your heart that will knock your socks off. If you want to follow Jesus, you've got to follow him into the lowest spot. This is part of the cost. On the upside, Jesus will be right there with you. In verse 12, Jesus gives another lesson in practical Christianity. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Living for Jesus always means giving to people who can't give back. This is another cost. First, you give up the best seat. Now you give up getting payback. Giving Christmas gifts to friends who give back is nice, but it's really just swapping. Giving means not getting back. Not here, anyway. And then in verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." This man has probably heard Jesus talk about the great celebration we'll have in heaven. It will be awesome indeed. I cannot wait. Who would want to miss a feast at God's own table? But Jesus delivers a reality check at verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' So a man throws a banquet, and he invites a bunch of guests, and they all make excuses for why they can't come. And all the excuses are pretty weak, if you ask me. Why would you make some weak excuse to get out of an awesome banquet? That's crazy. Yet people make weak excuses to get out of heaven all the time. Why? Because there is a cost. You have to give up one thing for the sake of the other. You can't go to the feast and see your field. You can't go to the feast and check out your oxen. Now, the three excuses given here represent some of the excuses that people make to reject following Jesus. The first excuse, I just bought a field. Some people say, I've bought into a piece of the world and I just can't let go. The second one, somebody's bought 5 yoke of oxen. Oftentimes, material possessions keep people out of heaven. Finally, I just got married, so I can't come. Some relationship. I need a girl first before I can start following Jesus. Or once you get a girl, oh, now I'm too busy. What excuse do you give for not following Jesus? The reality is, whatever excuse you give to reject following Jesus is really your excuse for staying out of heaven. So the man in the story got angry. He won't force anyone to show up for the feast, just as God won't force anyone into heaven. The man opens the invitation to anyone and everyone out on the roads and in the country. God has opened the invitation to heaven to absolutely everyone. The sad truth is that it's much easier for the man who has nothing on earth to lose to let it go so he can gain heaven. Next up, verse 25 starts out with large crowds. You would think Jesus would like large crowds, but it's not always a good thing. Of course, he wanted all of them to be saved, but just following him around didn't mean that they were saved. He wanted disciples who would follow him all the way to heaven. When church is full of people but has few disciples, something's wrong. So Jesus challenged them to count the cost of following him. Following Jesus means loving him so much that your devotion to others is like hate in comparison. Now don't misunderstand, Jesus is very clear that you should love others. But Christ must come first. That is part of the cross we bear. There is a cost to follow Christ, and he wants you to take an honest look at the price tag before committing to buy. God doesn't want any clearance rack Christians. So in verse 33, he lays out the price tag as clear as possible. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus says that the cost of following him is everything, your whole life. For me, I look at the cost of Christianity a lot like the cost of marrying my wife. The day I said I do, the price tag was huge. Really, it was. I gave up every possibility of even considering acting like a bachelor. And it's work, hard work, every day of my life to love my wife. But the thing is, I counted that cost, and for what I get, for my wife, I got the deal of the century. She's worth it. She's so worth it, the cost is a joke. But it is essential that every husband count that cost carefully so that he never tries to take it back. There's nothing more miserable than a married person trying to act single, except maybe a Christian trying to act as if his life and his possessions are his own again. Self-centered Christianity is as ugly as a married man flirting with adultery. As for me, I counted that cost, and I pay it gladly, to marry my bride and to follow Jesus. As for you, read Luke 14 today and get a good look at everything on that price tag. Are you willing to pay it all? Trust me, it's a deal you don't want to miss.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamondhead, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.